Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
There's a hot link place that I used to eat at way back in the day.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old Dirty Show T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T, the degenerate right now, have the latest. The latest is Tyler is knee-deep in the New Orleans Bowl, which features Western Kentucky and Southern Miss. I doubt he has very many players on those teams, but he has said, as he says, I've done my, in quotes, research. And he's got, what, the Hilltoppers plus two?
That is correct.
They are up 3-0 in a huge touchdown called back in your favor with Southern Miss. Helps you continue that lead where it would have been 7-3 in this game. This is coming off of him having multiple bets in the Boca Raton Bowl between Louisville and Toledo. Sean Pendergast, another degenerate, had three bets going. At least in that Boca Raton game, and we got these guys to call them games. We don't even know who these people are.
Want a quick 150 on that baked beans bowl, man.
And this is what you're doing. Bet money on this. Just sick and sad. Be ashamed of yourself. But we'll get to T-Mill's best bets as he had a nice day again yesterday. It was good for him to know early that the under was dead. After about maybe the first quarter, I think Tyler knew that his under bet was done because
for sure
because there was a full out damn duel between Brock Purdy and Phillip Rivers that we didn't see coming yesterday, and those two were off and rolling. But you did everything else well yesterday, and so he's gonna make a little bit money a little bit later on. Let's get to the injury report, Clint. Not anything official yet. Reports, though, that Trent Brown, with that left knee, didn't return to the game on Sunday against the Raiders. He's day-to-day, did not practice. Ariante Ursary, broken hand, he did not practice. Derek Stingley, Kamari Laster, Derek with the oblique, Laster with the foot, they did not practice. Returning to practice was Woody Marks, Azeez Alshire. They both missed the game Sunday. They returned to practice. But, Clint, we've talked about it. This thing is about the tackles. Here is D'Amico Ryans giving the latest update that he could give about his two starting tackles, Trent Brown, Ariante Ursary, who left the game early and has not practiced this week yet.
Of course you had to ask that question.
Gotta check you.
Yeah, always. You gotta keep me on there, right? No, we'll see how it goes. Of course, we know, everybody knows we're banged up, you know, at tackle. And we'll see. We're on a short week here. We'll see how that pans out for us.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of parts to this, Clint. Obviously, for the short term right now, this is a big deal. Arguably, listen, the offense has improved over the last month and a half, but it's still, obviously, as we've watched Sunday and other times, it's still getting quite hitting on all cylinders. But there has been improvement, and I think the major improvement has been they've seemed to found their five on the offensive line, where they've had Ariante Ursary and Trent Brown as the tackles, being able to shift Titus Howard on the inside, and they could be without both of those guys, which, as we watched in the game, causes another huge shift, which shifted Titus back out to right tackle, shifted Blake Fisher in, and also Patterson in the game. So this is the big thing For this team right now is what's going to be the status in this game and moving forward with those two guys?
Yeah, look, I think a lot has improved throughout the year with this team, but I think there's several reasons why the offensive line has been better the last month or 6 weeks. I think the quarterback play has been better, been different. I think the offensive play caller has been better and been different. And in reality, where they landed with this offensive line, to your point, finding two tackles that aren't named Titus Howard, which would free Titus Howard up to move inside and fill in that guard void where you were really struggling, was the secret sauce. Now, if you've got to bump Titus Howard back outside, what does it look like at guard? And what does Blake Fisher, who has had a really, really rough season, really, we talk about camp because we had our eyes on him every day, but really it's been a rough season overall for Blake Fisher. And so if he's forced into action and all of a sudden – you know, Jarrett Patterson is forced into action at the guard position when really he wasn't even in the plans at the guard position until mid-year. So it could potentially look really different up front for C.J. Stroud, and we could be back to a, you know, one injury changes several positions on the offensive line, and what does that look like? How do they communicate? How do they you know, do you have problems off the edge as well as, you know, getting the pocket push from inside? And how does Nick Caley and C.J. Stroud, how do they adjust to make sure that this, at least to minimize, you know, this change and these injuries, if you do have to have the change and the injuries are bad enough to keep these guys out, if you do have those, how do the key players, being C.J. and Nick Caley, how do they adjust to make sure that you still give you guys a chance to play winning football on the offensive side?
Yeah, my other part to that is obviously the short term, Clint, is, and, you know, how long is a broken hand for Ariante Urser?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think a lot of people look at it, oh, you can play hands. Like, dude, offensive linemen and tackles in particular use their hands a lot, right? Like, to punch and everything. They use their hands to pass, protect, and all of that. So, I wonder how long that is, and you wonder how long it is with a knee injury, which have been issues for Trent Brown in his career. So, it's not just Sunday's game, but, you know, how long will this be, and how effective can they be with these injuries?
Yeah, look, can Ariante Urser play with a club on his hand? We've seen tackles do it before. I don't know if he's capable of doing it or not. Is he with the club a better option than Blake Fisher? I don't think that's a stretch to say yes. And then on the other side of it, like you're talking about, how long does he need to be in a club before he can get it off and just have some kind of protective, you know, shield on the back of his hand where he can at least grab with his fingers and things of that nature? So I think there's a lot of questions around all of these guys of all of these injuries of, like, how bad are they? Can you play with a cast? Can you, you know, are we looking at one game or multiple games because of a knee? And so we'll see. Just stay right here. Stay plugged into Sports Radio 610, and we'll keep you posted.
All right. That is the latest there also from the rest of the guys. Injury report just now coming out officially. Denico Autry, Jake Hansen, Dylan Horton, Sheldon Rankins, Derek, and we talked about Derek Stingley. Those are the guys also who didn't practice today. Dalton Schultz was limited in practice. Woody Marks was a full participant. I think that's also good news to know. He wasn't just limited. He was a full participant. And then the Chargers, they have a whole host of guys, look like some rest guys. Keenan Allen, Khalil Mack, rest. Mekhi Becton, their guard, that's one to watch with the knee. He did not practice. Justin Herbert, Trey Pipkins, another guy who's been injured. They both were full participants today. Obviously, Justin Herbert with that hand issue. So that's the latest there from the injury standpoint with those guys.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, also with the Texans, good news, and I think more impressive accomplishments. Just the start to me, the rest of the way. They've got four players that were announced to the initial Pro Bowl roster. I would imagine they'll get more with whatever happens to injuries or Super Bowl, whatever. But Azeez Alshire, Nico Collins, Will Anderson Jr., Derek Stingley Jr. are ones that are the four that have made it on the initial Pro Bowl roster. So they are there. Azeez, his first Pro Bowl. The rest of the guys, this is their second Pro Bowl. But they got four guys there. I think we all believe all of them deserve these honors. They've all had really good years and deserve there. But I'm surprised there's only four. You know, the Ravens got six.
Did they?
Injuries throughout. They got six. But anyway, I'm a bit surprised that there's only four. But, Clint, I think by the time this thing is over, there are going to be a lot more than four players that make it from the Texans.
Yeah, look, I'm surprised that Kamari Lassiter and Kalen Bullock aren't on the team. I understand where Kamari Lassiter may not be viewed as that top-tier corner from a coverage perspective. I think those guys are kind of set in stone. Kamari's still climbing that ladder. Kalen Bullock, I can't believe, is not on there simply because, to me, when you watch the Texans play, one, he gets a lot of love, but if you watch him play, he just flashes on the field left and right. And the one that's missing off of all of these lists, the seven Texans that are mentioned, I just don't know how you can talk about these seven guys and never bring up Danielle Hunter. I mean, he's third or fourth in the league.
Yeah, that is weird.
Third or fourth in the league, not in the AFC, in the league in sacks, and there's nobody that plays harder. I mean, like, when you talk about Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, I mean, there's nobody in the league that plays harder. There may be some guys that play similar. You saw one, Max Crosby last week, obviously, is a monster. Miles Garrett leads the league, which I think he had 22 sacks. Did I say that right, 22 sacks?
I think he's in there. Yeah.
I mean, what's the record?
He's closing in on it. I think it's 22 and a half or 23.
Yeah, he's going to break that. Hopefully he breaks it in 16 weeks. It's not 17. That way you can't talk about the longer season. But,
yeah.
But, yeah, I just don't know how. And I'm not even talking about on the team itself. I'm just talking about on the alternates. I mean, for him to not be mentioned that's wild right there now.
And I understand, like, I mean, they have had – there's some great edge rushers in there. It's Miles – it's Will Anderson, Miles Garrett, and Max Crosby are the three.
Fair. Who are the alternates? Do you see those?
I don't have the alternates on there. It doesn't have the alternates. But then they're going outside linebacker, which is almost similar – like Nick Benito, T.J. Watt, the Kit Tooley from the Chargers.
Yeah.
He's an outside. So they're edge rushers.
Yeah, but that even tells you more is because they're not mixing the linebackers in with the true defensive ends, and so it's even, you know, if when you start talking about outside linebackers and true DNs together, just edge players, then I could see where it'd be hard to always get that right. But if you're going to give them two different categories, man, I just don't know how you leave Danielle Hunter out of that mix.
I mean, yeah, Will Anderson, Miles Garrett, Max Crosby is pretty good, but I mean, Max is doing it where he is clearly the guy that they.
Yeah, I have no qualms with the guys that are.
Danielle's going to make. I'll be shocked if by the end of it he doesn't make it or somebody doesn't drop. Right here, like the corners, Derek Stingley, Patrick Surtain, Christian Gonzalez, Denzel Ward. I'm not going to sit here and act like I've watched a ton of Browns football, but I would wonder Denzel Ward versus Kamari last year.
I agree.
What's that look like this year?
I agree.
And I think there is something to say that teams are trying to attack him, and he's getting more things going his way. I think Dalton Schultz is another one that's got an outside potential chance, depending on what happens there, but listen, I think that by the end of it, there's going to be six or seven Texans that actually make this Pro Bowl roster.
Six, seven.
I don't know if anybody got it.
I got
six, seven.
5 o'clock fire.
Yeah, six, seven, six to nine. All right. Other reports in the NFL. Clint, Tyler, Browns won't activate Deshaun Watson from the PUP list this season, so he will not play. Although he has been practicing, he is apparently healthy and ready to go. He is not practicing, and will we see him on the field next year?
Well, yeah. I mean, I would think so.
You think so? You think he's going to get one?
One, it's the Browns, and so it's not like
he's still owed a lot of money.
He's still owed a boatload of money. They're not going to cut bait and get it right. It's not. I mean, like there's
get it right.
They've been trying to get it right over and over and over and over again, and can't get it right. And you look at their quarterback room right now. I mean, there's nothing there that goes, hey man, Deshaun's not going to be in at least compete mode next offseason. And so
Shador and Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm the Browns, I mean, you've got the best case scenario for you is if you can put some pieces around a quarterback competition. If Deshaun Watson can play the position at a high enough level to where he remains a starter, and the two guys you drafted can sit back and actually learn football, maybe in a new system other than Kevin Stefanski, and get this thing moving in the right direction. So, look, I think the ship has more than sailed, obviously, on Deshaun Watson ever being the player that he once was. But we see guys resurrect careers and be serviceable starters in this league year in, year out. So that, I don't think that would be crazy.
I just coming back when Jimmy Haslett, the owner there, just basically before the season started said it was over. Like, yeah. It was the biggest mistake I'd made, he said. Like, he made it, like, he closed the book on that. And, like, if it's not in Cleveland, then I'm really trying to figure out, like, where he goes.
Well, I just don't know how they don't clean house. I mean, yeah. I don't know how you don't get away from Kevin Stefanski, completely clean house, bring in a new everybody, and say, hey, here's your pieces. Decide who you like and who you want to keep and what your plan is to get us back moving in the right direction, and we'll cut everybody else. I mean, that's ultimately what needs to happen. But instead, they keep kicking the can down the road, and it just gets that road gets longer and longer and icier and icier. It's awful.
Yeah, we'll see. I do think they will clean house. And I wonder whoever they clean house with and the new coach coming in, does he want to deal with that?
Does he want to deal with any of it?
Yeah, any of it. Yeah, they're two different dude, but his is,
I mean, I'll be honest with you right now, in the quarterback room right now, like, I'm a Shedeur Sanders fan. I don't want Deion Sanders in the hallways of my arena. I don't want him on the sideline. I don't want all that mess that comes with it. Not when I'm trying to rebuild this thing. I don't want that. And so if that's going to be part of that, he can go too. But Deshaun, I mean, if there's any kind of outsider, me against the world, you feel like you've been done wrong, get that out of my building as well. I mean,
I would just probably want that on out.
I'd imagine there's a lot of stench.
But there's a lot of money there.
There's a lot of stench in Cleveland that you'd want up out of that building if they did and decide to clean house.
Yeah. All right, coming up as we get going here, your chance to win Texans tickets. It is a Texans Ticket Tuesday. At some point in the 5 o'clock hour, you have a chance to win. That could be next segment. And why the offense, why they were the most disappointing factor in Sunday's game. We'll discuss.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Just that coming up.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, let's do it, Tyler. Open up the phone lines and let's get us a winner right now. Caller number 11. Caller number 11, 713-572-4610. Caller number 11, your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Texans in their season finale, week 18 at home at NRG versus the Indianapolis Colts. Not really sure the importance of that game, all right? It could mean nothing. It could mean everything, but you could be in the building. Caller number 11, 713-572-4610. Your chance to win a pair of tickets right now. Tyler will take care of you, and you'll be our final winner of the day. There was a winner on Payne and Pendergast, a winner on In the Loop, and now a winner today on a Texans Ticket Tuesday. Be that guy or gal, and congratulations ahead of time on your win. All right, be out there coming up, final game of the season. All right. They will play the Chargers first, but looking back at the game against the Raiders, Clint, not a real major surprise, as you know, you're a quarterback and the offense kind of hits different for you, and you see it, and it kind of jumps a little bit more to you. But for you, in a game that I think most people, most Texans fans, the biggest Texans fan, the most positive Texans fan may have walked away from that game at least a bit disappointed with the performance. Good with the win, but if he broke that one again, I was going to lose my mind. Anyway, sorry. Disappointed in the performance on both sides of the ball. But for you, even though it is the number one defense against the 32nd ranked offense, for you, you were more disappointed in the offensive side. Why did that jump to you more in this game?
Well, number one, I think if you look at the defense, I mean, I think there were three big plays that they got hit with, which it shouldn't surprise anybody in football that D'Amico Ryan's defense, the style they play, went out there and got hit by a couple of big plays. Now, not tackling well and keeping them out of the end zone, maybe that's a little bit of an issue there. I'm not worried about the defense. I look at this like you got hit with three big plays, and the opponent had to go make those big plays, and they made a few against you. This game still should have never been close. And so I believe that because I think the offense left a lot to be desired. I think when you look at the early C.J. Stroud misses on the first two drives, I think that in itself is what that ends up causing is a slow start for the entire offense because now you're playing behind the chains, and we understand that how detrimental this group just believes that playing behind the chains is, and that their conservative approach has a really, really hard time digging out from behind the chains. Your quarterback can't miss layups and free throws of anywhere from 6 to 10 to 12 yards right there twice in the first two drives. I think that hurts. I think your play caller killed you on a third down where it was clear the first two times that you tried to run toss, some kind of outside play where you didn't just get – you had multiple guys, three and four guys, get absolutely dominated to a point where you should have balled that piece of paper up and thrown that concept in the garbage in critical moments. Instead, we, in a hard-headed manner, we decide we're going to go back out there, and on third and one in a critical moment in the game, we're going to try it again, and once again, it gets stuffed. And so – I think when you're doing stuff like that as an offensive coordinator and from a plan perspective, I think when it bites you in the ass, I think that's more concerning than, hey, the defense got hit with a couple of big plays. I think the quarterback missing throws and inconsistent quarterback play, although CJ's been better since he got back, I think there's an internal battle there of does CJ Stroud, an uber-gifted dude, does he fit this you know, death by a thousand cuts? To bring back an old phrase, does he fit that? Is he comfortable in it? Is he going to commit wholeheartedly to it? Nick Caley, is he going to change a little bit to fit C.J. Stroud? I think that's an internal battle over there. And when you're missing early throws, I think that's a problem. So I think the issues that came up on the offensive side of the ball, again, I'll go back to just stagnant offense. I mean, even when they do use motion, it's a shift. It's not a motion. They move a guy and he literally stops and gets set again. You're not creating an advantage doing that, right? You're reacting to something, but you're not creating an advantage when you do that. And so I think the vanilla approach, I think the lack of getting anybody in this offense touches in a high percentage way by design, I think that's a problem. So I'm way more concerned about the offense than I am the defense.
Yeah, absolutely concerned.
And I mean in a vacuum relative to what we saw on Sunday, yes.
I think for me, the defense, I am shocked that the Raiders even got that many big plays and
agreed
and did, and the numbers looked the way that it did afterwards. I guess when you look at the offense, Clint, I think the surprising part to me was if you were like just listening to you, what was the number one thing that you think held the offense back Sunday?
Ooh. The number one thing?
But quarterback's got to be, if it's not number one, it's got to be up there. Like the quarterback, like the first thing out of your mouth was how off he was at the beginning.
Well, it's just
inaccurate.
It's just the start. I mean, you just can't, the proof is you can't waste series and waste downs, even against the Raiders. It's going to bite you in the ass in a major way against a team that can apply more pressure to your defense. I would probably say, because the poor throws early on, you know, that there's a couple of throws where he didn't get it out of his hand, where like Nico's there on one of those right now slant type things, and for whatever reason, he looks dead at the safety blitzes, and he doesn't throw it to him. I don't know why he does that. So, yeah, I would say.
I just say CJ because, Clint, I can take Trent Brown getting beat. I could take Ariante Ursary against a veteran tack or veteran edge rusher or a speed rusher
getting
beat, or maybe some confusion up front, or maybe, you know, drop or something from Higgins or Noel, or Christian Kirk couldn't get separation.
Right.
I can take that. It's two players on the field where, if there are plays there, especially easy plays, it's tough if your offense is struggling and Nico's got four drops, right? That's a hard one because Nico Collins is the guy that you should trust and depend on and be one of the guys that makes sure your offense is running well. And C.J. Stroud, for me, is the other one. And when C.J. Stroud, you know, sets the tone to struggles and sets you back on certain down and distances, which I don't think is something he does normally, then that to me is why it was really disappointing, is because you could argue the person – I'm not even surprised that Nick Caley struggles from a play-calling perspective. But when Nico and CJ are the problems, that's when it's really disappointing. Yeah.
Well, here's the deal is maybe this has got to be the easiest offense in the NFL right now to defend.
Why you say that?
They don't move. They don't move. And a high percentage of the snaps, they'll just line Nico up to the one receiver side to the boundary and just leave him. They don't move anybody to create any pick routes or any kind of confusion whatsoever. And so it's pretty easy to decipher what's going on. When was the last time they threw the ball down the field to a running back? And I mean down the field in a way of like line him up out there like the Raiders
did, or
even like the bullet route, like what, like any of that stuff. Like it's very easy. They're very vanilla. The concepts that they're running are very, very vanilla. They're not designed to put stress on defenses. The tempo that they play with is slow motion. It's not designed to put, you know, to put pressure on defenses. I mean, you just go down the list of things that are like mechanisms within just general football, general offenses that apply pressure. I mean, you know, the quarterback having total command where he can change the play at the line of scrimmage like we've seen other quarterbacks do. Hell, we just saw one come off the ain't played in 5 years. Ain't played in 5 years, and he comes out there and he's communicating like he was in the game yesterday. Right, but yet we sit around here and we go, "Oh, well, you're getting this offense installed." You know, this has got to be the easiest offense in America to defend, and that's a problem.
Yeah. All right, coming up, what's not a problem is T-Mill's best bets. I don't believe any of them are any of these bowl games. They're going to be teams and players you've heard of. So, and he's on a roll. He had another good night with football last night, 3 of 4, so stay tuned, make a little money. So we'll have T-Mill's best bets coming up. And what are we watching right now? This has got to be one of the greatest stories in sports. We'll discuss that next. T-Mill being T-Mill.
I'm just sexual.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Cool, man.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios,
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Congratulations to John and Humble, who won our tickets on our Texans Ticket Tuesday. John will be at NRG for the finale. Got two tickets there, and he will be there for that Texans-Colts game. Congratulations to John and Humble. Appreciate you all who called in. Hopefully you get a chance at some point to maybe win some more tickets or prizes. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access. Can't hear him on the O. Texans All Access. We'll be joined by Cecil Shorts III.
What?
He'll be on. Cecil will be on.
Big Cease!
Hey, got a head coaching job out of Houston Christian, man. That's
big
time. How about
that, man? Yeah, I saw that, man. Man, that's well good, deserved. Man. He's been doing that high school football stuff for a long time.
8 years.
Congratulations to Cecil. Well-deserved head coach. He'll be on with Vandy, Vandy and John Harris. Cecil Shorts III will be on the be on Texans All Access coming up right behind us. Area 45,
we got him started in the radio business. The Drive got him cranked up. Tia's a good idea by you.
Yeah.
That was fun.
We like developing good guests for other people.
Like the farm system.
Yeah, you start right here, man. We'll get you moving in the right direction.
And then when
What you can and can't do, boys.
And then when you get called up, you get called up.
there was a grace period there. I had to wait a while.
Good for him. Area 45, someone on YouTube and Twitch said, hey, is there going to be Area 45 tonight? Yes. John Bajani.
Oh, Johnny's in the background.
I saw him back there getting it in tonight.
I think I left his co-host blank. It'll be Chris Partee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, CP in the building. Chris Partee in the building. With Sean Bajani coming up at 8 o'clock, so stay tuned for that. Area 45 coming up behind Cecil Shorts on Texans All Access. And, of course, here in a few minutes we'll get to T-Mill's best bets as he looks to continue to win. Clint, we talked about John won those tickets to see the Texans face the Colts, and the Colts are playing a lot better than I thought they would when Daniel Jones went down. And by the way, I feel bad, but Jonathan Taylor just laid down the reason why running backs will probably never win the MVP. When you just look at since Daniel Jones has gone down, they haven't won a game. You can clearly see the importance of him and the running back being there. Anyway, but what we're watching – Phillip Rivers last night, 23 of 35, and the 49ers pass rush was on his ass all night, and he throws for 277, two touchdowns, and he was going stride for stride. Did have a pick in there. He was going stride for stride with Brock Purdy, like bam, touchdown here, bam, and they had a special teams blunder, a fumble, and on special teams that kind of opened things up and put the 49ers kind of in a mode where they were coming from behind all the time, the Colts. But Phillip Rivers, man, I ain't going to lie to you. Tyler Clint, it's one of the most surprising things I've seen. The way he is playing and how good this has looked, I went from being concerned about what this is going to look like, and he does not look great in his uniform. I don't mean that in...
I'm glad I'm not alone because I've been like, damn, he looks chunky.
Like, I'm just saying, like, in terms of football, like, it looks like me going to go put it in a uniform. He does not look great in his uniform, but as soon as he gets that ball snapped to him, I mean, there aren't 10 quarterbacks, 10 starters better than, like he is probably maybe a little around the 20 range of starting quarterbacks right now. And that's him just coming off the bench, rolling through, Clint. It has been absolutely impressive. Hell, I feel like his Hall of Fame case got stronger by this thing. I mean, this is just crazy what he is doing.
Yeah, completing 66% of his passes. I mean, he's thrown the two interceptions that he's thrown were both in trash time. I mean, in a situation where you, last week it was just throwing it up at the end of the game with very little time on the clock, trying to get in field goal range, and then, you know, this one was a pick six late in the game when you were already down a couple of scores and you're just trying to make something happen. Three touchdowns, two interceptions, 66% completion, and get this, he's only been sacked three times in two games, and it's not because he can move. And it's not because, and I know that the offensive line is obviously good, but it's his he has put on an absolute clinic. I mean, when you look at what Phillip Rivers is doing right now, this is as powerful a message in the quarterback arena, in the quarterback world, as we've seen in a really long time. Like, the power of being able to get your feet set, get the ball out on time, to process information, to get in the right play, get to give yourself options, to take the underneath route, to anticipate, you know, the in your throws and distribute the football accurately. I mean, it's just, he is putting on an absolute clinic of how important that actually is. And in today's world, in today's quarterback arena, we spend so much time. You see it with the damn highlight reels of all these different high-level quarterbacks and quarterback trainers. 99% of those are them throwing back across the field or off their back foot, or, you know, doing some exotic freestyle throw, throwing the ball 80 yards down the field. And the reality of it is, if you can hone in and understand how to layer the football so that you can anticipate throws and you can understand about, you know, keeping your cleats in the turf and getting the football out accurately and on time to all the underneath routes, if you can understand how important it is to throw a ball, you know, no more than 5 yards down the field, but throwing in a position where a guy can catch and run afterwards, if you can do those things, you can play the position at an extremely high level. Now, in no way, shape, or form am I saying Phillip Rivers is going to be an all-pro next year. I'm just saying, to think that guy, after 5 years of not playing, can come back on the field and put any semblance of quality quarterback play on film is a absolute clinic to all the intricacies of playing the quarterback position that go beyond, or before, I guess, the tangible abilities to run and throw. Wild, man.
Hey, listen, I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know if he's thinking, hey man, just kick it. Hey man, just taking in these four games or how many games he's playing. But I wonder, is there a thought in his mind saying, man, Let me get in an off season and get my body and get myself in some shape, and maybe I come out here because, you know, an Achilles tear for Daniel Jones, if they do bring him back, could take him. I wonder is he just gonna hang it up after this season ends? I mean, the way he's playing, I mean, I would imagine in his mind he's thinking, man, if I really applied myself with my body and got work in,
he can't throw it 50 yards right now,
and got work in. Like, what would this look like?
Yeah, no question, man. You look at the Seattle game. I said this when it happened. They're one play. If he connects with Josh Downs coming out of halftime right in the third quarter, that's a whole different game the way their defense is playing. And then yesterday against San Francisco, I mean, it didn't matter if he'd thrown five touchdowns. They weren't going to win that game. I mean, San Francisco was torching their defense. Yeah, and so, you, to your point, though, is, you know, you look at it, you go, hey, if I'm the Colts and I'm just trying to buy a little time till Daniel Jones gets back, and I just need maybe a month's worth of quarterback play, hell yeah, I'm gonna sign. Now, if he wants to, I mean,
wonder if you're thinking, like, what's he look like with a full off season where he knows he's gonna play football, and he dedicates his body, his arm, and his training to that. Wonder what that would look like.
He ain't dedicating his body right now.
You wouldn't either.
Yeah, you've been drinking 100%. Cold, coaching and drinking cold beer.
Been eating them puffs. Them circus cookies.
I think he's retaining a little bit more water now that he's playing.
I think it looks like his head got bigger too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm talking about from last week to this week. Oh. He looks like he's retained 10 pounds of water from last week to this week.
It's the cardio, old Phil.
I think he went back to believing in hydrating and electrolytes and all that, and it backed him up.
I'm glad they wore that blue last night. That all white last week.
I'm going to be honest with you. Rough. That may be the worst uniform in football.
That all blue one with the black helmet?
Last night's, those are awful.
It was all black with blue stripes, right?
No, they had on the all blue head to toe with the black helmets.
Now, the all-black ones, I think, are terrible, too. But, yes, I'm with you. Those are disgusting. Not as bad as the Jaguars, of course.
Yeah, you got to show.
I think that black and blue is just not a good look.
You got to show Michael Pittman and Jonathan Taylor
that's
more
fair. That's fair.
Than 17.
That's fair. He's not. He absolutely is not the model that you're looking for.
But I think he can get himself together. I think he's got 35, 40 pounds to drop if he wanted to. If he knew he was going to play ball. If he knew he was going to play ball, he could look better than that. Wish I could. All right, what are your best bets?
We went a little 3-for-4 last night.
Why
like
not?
Like no, Ron baby. Said, that so. Under was screwed early. I mean, it was halftime, and I was like, well, I hope these other three hit. We went 3-for-4. Going to up it to 5 picks for you on a Tuesday night. And it's all around the NBA. A lot of NBA action going on tonight. First, I'm taking the 76ers -9. They are hosting the Brooklyn Nets. 76ers, they have the third highest success rate this season against the spread in the league, people. That's that research me and Cheryl will be doing.
That research,
you know what I'm saying? Okay. Yeah, and they beat the Nets, the 76ers, that is, by 24-12 their last two meetings. Next,
Nets I got are the bad.
The net, the
Nets. The
yeah,
Nets
Brooklyn's
bad.
Awful. Yeah, yeah take it. Put bad. Some money in your pocket, man. Next, I got the Pacers +1.5 as they host the Bucks. And in that same game, I'm on the over. Bucks Pacers over 218.5 points tonight. Last time they played, they scored 232. Lock it in. Lakers +6 is your next bet, and they're going to be in Phoenix taking on the Suns. Lakers money against the spread is hitting at 60% rate this year, people. That's Cheryl once again for you. And then lastly, a hometown guy. The Rockets are in action. They got the last game of the slate tonight around the NBA because they are in LA taking on the Clippers. I'm on Kevin Durant over 23.5 points for KD. Those are your five best bets. Yeah.
KD's been shooting the ball well here a lot lately. And I'm proud of you for staying out of the James Harden business. Generally, you just bet with your heart at times with him. Tonight is another one of Dylan Brooks' Super Bowls, so we'll see what he's going to do in this matchup against LeBron. So that
that's entertainment, man.
Did you see that?
I forget how he was under LeBron's skin last time, wasn't he?
Well, he's the one who got ejected.
Yeah, but no doubt. But nobody cares about him.
He got ejected and found it sent LeBron to the line to tie the game.
LeBron was hot.
Oh yeah, he did. He just went up there and just started chest body bumping him and got his first technical for no reason. Delay like he's a weird guy. He's just still it is, man. Silly Canadians. All right, Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. Happy holidays to all of you. I am Ron. The show is always Houston. We love you, baby.
Oh, I do have action on Western Kentucky. Yeah.
The old New Orleans Bowl. That now that hit.
I had help from Cheryl.
And I know Cheryl is advanced.
Cheryl,
she was AI before AI was. Texans swore.
I mean, I'm telling you.
Happy holidays and Merry Christmas to everybody.
Ron and Clint, thank you guys very much. Merry Christmas and ho, ho, ho.
Hey, this is Clint Sterner and the show and old Tiny Heidi, and we're wishing you and your family a very happy holiday season.
Tyler, I love you too, man. You so H-Town.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.